I want to speak to you just a few minutes on wisdom. Brother Gonzalez preached this the other night, and the Lord struck something to my heart then concerning it, but I had no intentions of coming back preaching it unless it was down the road somewhere where he would quicken it to me. But he took me right to it this morning. I want to read a good bit of scripture here, and I want you to listen now. We need the word, and I want you to listen real close. I think I'll start here in the 6th chapter. I want you to listen real close here. It says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thine hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burnt? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. neither will he rest content though thou givest many gifts. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandment with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went away to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the street, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she called him and kissed him, and with impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us so lace ourselves with love, for the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children. Attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places. By the way, in the places of the pass, she crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak excellent things. In the ninth verse, I want you to listen, or ninth chapter, the first verse, I want you to listen to this. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. There is just so much that could be said this morning concerning this. There's another chapter, too, that I would just love to have read concerning the things of God. Wisdom is such a strong, wonderful thing. It is the chief thing. The Bible teaches here that before the hills was ever formed, before the heavens was mountains were ever settled, and before he ever set the degree of the depths, that he went and got wisdom. And he sought out wisdom, and he set wisdom forth before he ever done anything that he ever planned to do. God did. Before he ever did anything, the Bible said the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. Now, a lot of things here that I would like to comment on, but I'm just going to try to talk with you a little bit and then let you go. But I read to you the things that God hates. One of the things I read to you, as I read here, was that God hateth him that soweth discord among the brethren. The woman that had the attire of a harlot, the Bible said that she met him, forced him with her lips. She met him because he was one void of understanding. She picked him out because he was void of understanding. She watched for someone that was void of understanding. The Bible said that she will say to you that stolen waters are sweet, but you know not that her guests are in the chambers of hell. This woman, waiting at the doorpost of her house, looking out her window, knowing that the husband was gone, she sought for the simple. She looked for them that was foolish, that she might pull them into the evil practices of her own doings. Void of understanding, looking for somebody that was void of understanding. The Bible said that she made preparations to catch them that are void of understanding. Have you ever at any time in your life, can you ever remember ever being a day like we're living in now? The Bible said there would be an adulterous generation, a sinful, a wicked, adulterous generation that will continually marry and never be satisfied with any companion. A devil, a demon, an evil spirit. And that it would be such a day that all along the streets, women would dress in such a manner. They won't wear their dresses down to their ankles like they should wear them. They won't wear them down that. That's the way they should wear them, like a man wears his pants down to his ankles. It's absurd to think they would wear them any other way, but they won't do that. They want to expose their bodies, and God has allowed it to be that way, that it might show the condition of the church that is contrary to the ways of Christ. It is a typical thing showing the condition of the church today. I've made the statement. I would hate to go before God knowing that John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, and the Bible said to him, being our example, it said that he was all the way down to his feet, that his garment was all the way down to his feet, and to know that in the garden Christ himself put them on coats, not just fig leaves as they put on themselves, but the Bible said he put them on coats. Now, I know the coats of today is not much of a coat. You can half freeze to death in some of them, but years ago, when people put on coats, they come all the way down. Amen. There were coats. They covered you up. How do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. When you find a preacher, when you find a minister, or find a laity, a deacon, or find a husband that doesn't feel that his wife ought to cover up her nude body, that man is of the devil. I don't care who he is. When a preacher stands in the pulpit and he preaches against dresses that cover the nudeness of a woman, that man is of the devil. Somebody say, ain't you afraid to say that? I'm not afraid to say that. The man is cunning and crafty. If you'll watch him, he's got evil in his life. He's got lust in his life, and he wants to play around with the sisters. That's right. I've done seen it. I've watched them. I know exactly what they're doing. And men who fight a message of Christ, something is wrong with them. You better leave them alone. They might look good. You may have the greatest kind of confidence in them. But as I live before God, something's wrong with them. And it'll show up down the road. The woman, the church, not God's church, but the church world, showing the condition, the spiritual condition of the church that is not fully submitted to Christ. The woman, how many people have we got? Men, we call them. But God called them silly women. How many men have we got that will pull an individual off to them and try to indoctrinate them and sit by their window to watch for the foolish to come to play Absalom? How many have we got like that? The women, the foolish woman, saying that the husband is gone off on a long journey. We know he's coming back someday, but he's gone on a long journey. Come and let us take our fill till the morning. And she said to him, she said, I paid my vows. But somebody said, how do you know that he's living right? Oh, he said, I'm in harmony with the pastor. I paid my vows. I do what I'm supposed to do. I live for God. I do what I'm supposed to do. And so then the foolish fella, the one that she's been watching for, turns in to listen to the foolishness. And with her lips, she forces him. Soon, he is found in the bed of adultery. Soon, he has forfeited his right to be a member of the body of Jesus Christ. For God is not a harlot or whoremonger that he should be joined to a harlot. And the Bible said that if a man be joined to a harlot, then he is also considered part of the body. You can't be together. You can't live with a whoremonger, young lady, unless you are considered part of the rottenness of his body. You can't live with a harlot, young man, unless you are considered part of that body. In other words, you are partakers of the evil that person is carrying on, because the Bible said that if you bid a thing Godspeed, you're partakers of it. But she sits by her window. She watches. She won't bother with the man that's got understanding. She won't bother with the man that's got wisdom, because she knows that he'll expose her evils. I've got some men here that love God, men that stand for God, and the foolish woman won't mess with them. They stay away from them, but they watch for my young children. They watch for them that are void of understanding. They watch for them that are vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, that thinks they know something when they don't know something as they ought to know. This has been foolish. They are looking for them. And sure enough, the fool turns in. The fool turns in as he goes by. The Bible said he turns in and he goes to the woman straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Straightway, just like a bird that don't know there's a snare set, and it goes right straight to it. While the woman, a lot of the sisters, so-called, the Bible speaks of false brethren, false sisters, some of them so-called, that are among us, like Judas, that walked with Jesus but was not part of them. Jesus said, I've chosen 12. Said, I know one of you is a devil. He knew that, but he gave them the same privileges. He blessed them in the same manner. He shared with them in the same way. A lot of times I'm reproached in the sense somebody will say, Brother Pike, you're not very wise. I see such and such. I know what's going on, they'll say in the church. And I'll say, who's blinder than you, Brother Pike? Who's blinder than you? I mean, that's what they're saying. Who's blinder than you? Why, I see these things and I know these things, and yet you don't seem to see them at all. But that isn't it. That isn't it at all. I see it. Jesus saw it. Don't you think he knew who Judas was? Why did you say, but did he really know? He said, I've chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. Doesn't that prove that he knows? Does that prove that he knew? He knew. I know too. A man of God knows, else how could he operate? He knows where the woman is sitting that keeps beckoning the people in. He knows where the woman is sitting that keeps causing the trouble. He knows the sheep that belong to him. Somebody would say, well, give me one good way that the shepherd can know his sheep. You want me to give you the best way that I know? He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Brother, when you belong to the pastor that God has ordained, it's not him that's speaking, but it's God, and you'll follow the voice within that shepherd, and you won't follow anybody else. I don't care who it is. It might be your friend, it might be your relative, it might be your daddy, your mother, or whoever, but you'll follow the shepherd and you won't follow anybody else. Makes no difference if it's your friend. It makes no difference how long you've been knowing him. It makes no difference if it's your relative. It makes no difference if it's your brother, your sister, your mother, your daddy. It makes no difference if it's somebody that's got an advantage financially speaking. You'll follow the voice of God. And when you don't follow the voice of God and the shepherd, it means that you don't belong to God and you don't belong to the soul that the shepherd is representing, because you can't hear his voice. Now, somebody said, what do you mean? I mean, you are the sheep of the shepherd that you follow. If you hear my voice, then you'll follow me. If you do the things that I say do, then you're my sheep. If you do the things that somebody else says do, you belong to them. You're their sheep. If they're of God, you're in good shape. If they're of the devil, you're in terrible shape. I know that God put me here to be a shepherd in this world. I've been a shepherd all ever since God called me into the ministry. People have come to me, not that I sought people, but people sought me. They came to me wanting to hear the voice of God. As much as life within me, I've tried to share the voice of God. I don't believe in ecclesiastical powers out in the world. I don't believe in the oversight of the denominational powers. I don't believe in it. It's like I told Brother Ben Howard that came here the other night. Ben's a great person. And Ben was trying to get some things over. He said, Brother Pike, he said, Brother Branham was so against denominationalism. So, or rather organization, he used the term, not denomination, but organization. Said he was so against organizations. He was honest in what he was saying. He was trying to get an understanding of something. Said, I don't want to go contrary to God. I don't want to do what's wrong. But I want to do what's right. I told him, I said, Brother Ben, I said, Brother Branham was not contrary to organization. No man of God could be contrary to organization. Anybody with understanding, anybody with as much understanding as William Branham had, could not possibly be contrary to organization. Organization is of God. There is nothing that can function unless there's something organized. It takes organization. It takes God. God is organized. And I've made the statement so many times, the stars come out at a certain time. Scientists find that the time of the solar light is so perfect that it never misses more than a minute or two in its coming up and going out, because God is so organized. God is the greatest organizer in the world. He's the greatest organizer in the other world. He is the power of organization himself. Outside of God, there is no organization. Outside of God, there is no organization, but rather a great confusion of life without God. Brother Branham wasn't against organization. Brother Branham was against the same thing that I'm against. Jesus Christ and his life was the same in my life. He was against denominationalism. Just like in the days of David, when David rose up and tried to number his strength and lean upon the arm of flesh, God was displeased with it. If I put my trust and my confidence in the arm of flesh rather than leaning upon Christ, then the Bible said, cursed is the man that goeth down to Egypt for his help, or leaneth upon the arm of flesh. Is that right? So then God wants us to be organized. God said, I will bring forth my mighty army, saith the Lord. Have you ever heard of an army that wasn't organized? How could it be an army? That's the first thing you do, is organize a body of people that you call an army. Is that right? Brother, you've never seen such organization in your life as you're going to see when Christ Jesus gets through organizing his powers of organism. You're talking about a functioning, you're talking about a perfect coordination, but you're going to see one. You're going to see something like you've never seen in your life. Amen. You're going to see something that when God says rise, they rise, and when God says sit, they sit. When God says move, they move. I like the way they did it back there in the days of the wilderness when God called Moses, and Moses organized the commonwealth out there in the wilderness, and those people set their little tents out there. Brother, they never moved till Moses said move. They never moved one peg until Moses said move. And every person that went contrary to that organization, God killed and he destroyed him. Is that right? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pye, what about the law against adultery? He gave him a writing of divorcement. I know he did. I said here the other night, he gave it to him for the hardness of the heart. God said, let him go ahead. Go on, Balaam. Go on, Balaam. Somebody said, God told me it was all right for me to do this. I live a half a life and don't live like I ought to, but I prophesy anyway. Go on, Balaam. God loves me so much, he knows who I am. If I get ready to prophesy, bless God, I'll prophesy. Go on, Balaam. God knows me. God understands me. And if I want to do something that's not like the rest of the church, if I want to be a little different, well, that's different because that's me. Go on, Balaam. God hateth the man that soweth discord among the brethren. God hateth the woman that soweth discord among the sisters. You get over here somewhere in your living room. You get over here somewhere in your kitchen. You get out here in your automobile and you begin to talk to a sister. You begin to talk to a brother. And you begin to tear down what God is doing. And God will despise you. He said, in the morning I will despise thine image. Why? Because it'll be the image of the beast. It won't conform to his word. An image, to be the image of the Son of God, must conform to a nature. And that nature must be the Son of God nature. Because everything must reproduce according to its nature. And if we are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord, then we'll reproduce. Is that right? According, we'll multiply, replenish the earth according to the seed of Christ. Is that right?
Right.
Not according to the seed of the serpent, but according to the seed of Christ, the seed of the woman. Is that right? So then, when we sow discord among the brethren, when we say things that we know that's not like God, and God isn't pleased with it, then what is God going to do with us? Like he said concerning the Jews, they cut them to their heart as Christ ministered to them. He said, I gave you a vineyard, and I come to get the fruits. And the Bible tells us to bear the fruits of the Spirit because we're God's vineyard, the husbandry. Is that right?
Right.
He said, I gave you a vineyard. I asked you to produce fruit. I said, but you wouldn't do that. And I kept sending to you. I sent everybody I could to you. I said, but you didn't render to me any fruit. And he said, one day, he said, I sent my own son to you. You know, I like that, don't you? After all the troubles of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God got a lot of reports, one day God said, I think I'll go down there and take a look for myself.
Praise the Lord.
Like yesterday, they had done a good job up here on the top of the tower. But something come to me, go up there and see for yourself. That's the best way to know. People criticize us down here. They say things against you everywhere. Wasn't that wonderful?
Hallelujah.
You say, well, what's so wonderful about that? Because old Brother Paul, when he was preaching over there, they said, Paul, say on. He said, we know that this sect is spoke against everywhere. They just say on. Everybody comes against us, Paul. But let's keep on preaching because we like the way you're saying it, you know. We'd like to hear it for ourselves. I like that, don't you? I'd rather come and see for themselves. Brother Blake told me, he said, Brother Pike, said, I heard all kind of things. I thought, well, praise God, I got a reputation. Tell it ain't all good, but I still got a reputation. You know, the best thing that ever happened to Jesus in the way of a publication was his critics. How many of you know that? They criticized him. They found fault. But the Bible said his fame spread throughout the land. Isn't that right? God said, David, I took you from among the sheepcote, gave you a name like unto the great men of the earth. Is that right? You love the Lord? Hallelujah. How do we obtain that great name? How do we get it? Through wisdom. Through wisdom. Through the name Jesus. That's how we get it. But what happens to the foolish? They turn in to these people that criticize the sect. They turn in to this foolish woman that's already in adultery, already caught in her lies and evil, already in a bed of corruption. But they turn in to this woman. They go into her. And she says, I paid my vows. You don't have to worry about having conversation with me. I'm straight. I'm straight, she says. I paid my vows. I'm in harmony with the church. And the Bible said, with the lips, they force them. They force them. Speaking against that which is decent, that which is good. Speaking against that which is holy. Sowing discord among the brethren. Always contrary to God. Tell me something, folks. What will cause a minister to justify a woman half naked? Can somebody tell me that? Can you tell me what would cause a man to justify his wife when she's half naked? It has to be a devil.
That's right.
No man wants his wife going around half naked unless he don't care nothing about her. You love the Lord? I'm going to take a few more minutes. What does a right man want? A man that's clean, a man that's holy, a man that's upright. What does he want? He wants his wife to be decent. Is that right? He wants her to be decent. He doesn't want everybody else gazing at her. What has been the goal of Satan? What has been the motive of Satan? It has been from the very beginning to make man and woman nude. The first thing they said to the Lord, said, we knew that we were naked. Come on, folks. The first wrong that ever came. Somebody said, well, God made them naked. Let me tell you something. When God made them in the condition he made them, they were more clothed than you are. There was no shame. There was no thought of a basis. There was no thought of evil. They were just as clean as they could be. But when the devil polluted their minds, when the woman that sits by the way called to them, the same spirit called to them, and then when they turned in, that's when they were in trouble. That's when they were in trouble. And God, knowing that he intended for them to be clothed, and he could no longer clothe them with the mind of pureness and humility, he knew that he had to resort to a natural covering until the day he could bring back the spiritual covering of his glory that we spoke of one day here.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Satan had disrobed him and took away the covering of his glory. And the shame began to show. And they said, we're naked. And he said, who told you that? You know, we ought to understand that that tree was a spiritual tree. Most of us by now knows that that was a knowledge because it said it was the tree of knowledge. A tree, it was an advanced mind. It was a spirit. It was something that was beyond man's mind. Something that man wasn't acquainted with. It was the evil powers of pollution. It was Satan. That's what it was. It was the mind of the whore, the harlot. And there it was, beckoning. What did it do? God said, Adam and Eve, thou shalt not eat thereof. Thou shalt not eat thereof. But the devil said, well, don't worry about it. Me and God, we're in harmony. Everything's all right. He created me. He put me in the garden. He gave me a mind to think too. Who's got to obey the pastor? After all, who does God think he is? Pharaoh said, who is this God that I should obey his voice? Who does he think he is anyway? Who is that pastor? Who is that preacher? Who does he think he is? After all, I've got my own ideas about it. Yeah, the beast always has his own ideas about it. Is that right? And he always works through the weaker vessel, which is the woman. He didn't mess with Adam. He didn't mess with Adam. He knew better than to mess with Adam. Isn't that right? He knew better than to mess with Adam. If he'd have come over to Adam and started that stuff, Adam would probably have said, shut your mouth. God's word says such and such, and that's it. But he had to get the woman. He has to get the weaker vessel. He has to, the Bible said, call to the simple. So then, it was a mind polluted. Polluted. It polluted. I wish I had the time to go into it this morning. I really do. I wish I had the time to go into it this morning. But it was something that polluted her. And then when she came back to her fellow man, what did she do? The same thing that you do. When you go mess with the devil and then you come back among the brethren, I want you to see this. The devil is so cunning, he'll take one of our brethren off, indoctrinate him with the filth, cause him to rebel and be contrary. And then when he gets them full of slop, he'll say, now go back and humble your heart and be with the brethren. So they go back and they humble their heart to be with the brethren. Long enough to gain the confidence of the brethren again to put the same slop in their mind that he's gotten his. What was it? He said, oh, I won't hurt Adam. Just take a little bite. It won't hurt. Close your eyes, Adam. You know I want to do something. Close your eyes. I'm going to put something in your mouth. Now, you just think too much of that old Brother Pike. He's brainwashed you. That's what they need, is a good brainwashing. By the washing of the water of the Word, they need a good brainwashing. If I could brainwash everybody by the washing of the water of the Word of God, I'd do it this morning. Because that's what they need, is a good brainwashing. They got dirty.
That's right.
So the Eve said, I won't hurt. The simple, the foolish, turn aside. Turn aside. But wisdom said, don't go in. Don't go in. You know not that her guests are in the chambers of hell. Don't go in there like the vision I had where I got into the chamber. I saw this evil and God opened the door. And I went inside and saw the lifeless devils that were in the chamber that was going down to the burning lake of fire. Lifeless. I said, my God, let me out of this place. And the door opened. He just let me see it and let me out. And I wrote the song, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Freedom. Here is the woman. What does she want to do? She's a harlot. She won't follow the minister. She won't follow her husband. She don't want to do that. God puts a minister somewhere, but she isn't going to follow that. Who is she? The flesh. The flesh, sinful flesh. She isn't going to follow her husband. She isn't going to obey the ministry. She isn't going to listen to the voice of God. She's going to do that. No, not do that. Why? Because she's got a better way. Oh, she said, just come into me now. I'll show you some real excitement. You think that's something? You just wait till you hear what I've got to say. And the flesh likes that, see. The flesh likes that. The ways of the world, they like that. But the thing is, the fool goeth as an ox to the slaughter. The fool goeth. But the real true person will say, no, no, no. Like a man that tried to entice me one time to tell me to go out contrary to the laws of God and the vows of God and go out to other women. And I said, no. I told him to his face, I said, you go. I said, I got a wife and I love her. I said, and I don't want any of that.
Praise the Lord.
But the fool goes straightway. You follow me? Hold on, I'm going to close in just a few minutes. The fool, what is it? So that he can learn discord. God hateth him that soweth discord among the brethren. God hateth him. Tell me something. Why do you want to get on your job and talk to somebody about somebody? Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to do that? Why can't you talk to them about Jesus? Why can't you offer something constructive? Why can't you work in harmony with me and help me do something for God? Why do you want to take somebody over to your home and keep on pecking and beating like a dog digging in a slop hole and pull up an old dirty bone that's been hid for years? Because of stink in the church? Why do you want to do that? Why is it you want to separate yourself from the brethren and then separate everybody else you can from the brethren? Why do you want to do it? Because it's the devil, that's why. He don't like what we're doing here. He don't like this brotherly love. He don't like the sisters dressing decent. And he's trying to tie it down, trying to pull it in your mind. Your sisters ought to have the backbone. That when some frivolous little short-dressed woman comes around, starts criticizing you, you ought to say, woman, you ought to be pitied. Anybody ain't got no more reasoning you have, you ought to be pitied. And just pass on. When a minister starts telling you that a woman ought to, that she doesn't need to wear long dresses, you ought to look at him and say, God have mercy on you, you wretched person. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you mean that I should talk to a minister of God like that? I never seen a minister of God like that. You don't have to worry about talking to a minister of God like that, because there ain't none like that.
Praise God. Amen.
How do you know there's such thing as false brethren?
That's right.
Somebody comes around, they say, what do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Tell me, what do you say? What did old Brother Taylor say about me? You ought to say, what you need to do is to get out of your diapers and grow up and be a man. You say amen on me. I said, tell him that he needs to get out of his diapers and grow up and be a man. Who cares what Brother Taylor thinks about Brother Pike? As long as God thinks the right thing about me. And I said, whoa, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord.
There ain't nothing that you, nor Brother Taylor, nor my wife, nor nobody else can do for me or against me. The Bible said, if God be for you, who can be against you? If your ways please God, God will make your enemies be at peace with you. I'm trusting God. Always I trusted God. When I started building this church, I trusted God. When I was out on the field, I trusted God.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I thought you wanted Brother Taylor and him to build you up, Brother Pye. You poor, pitiful thing. The church of God offered me the very best if I would stay with him and to support my ministry and to put me on the field, and not only the church of God, but other ones. Galatians. That I could have been out yonder, had thousands of followers, had everything I could have wanted for. Why would I want somebody to lift me up? See, you just got a polluted mind. That's what's wrong with you. You are dirty. You need to be brainwashed. Soul washed too. You're choking to death on your own self. I'll tell you one thing. If you want some prestige, you better get out of the Holy Church and do what Brother Old Robert's done. Join the Methodist or somebody else. Because you ain't going to get none in the Holy Church. As far as folks is concerned, that's nothing. You better get out there and join the Pope and learn to kiss his big toe, whatever you have to do. I appreciate anybody that can truthfully, godly, reverently speak of the Christ within my life to esteem it very highly. I appreciate it. But I saw a man the other night. He was just flattering me. Just flattering me. Just kept on and on and on and on. And he was so solid with me. So solid with me that you couldn't have torn him away from me. But he needed to get right with God in the vision. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Taylor, I knew it all the time." But I didn't say, "Brother Taylor." See, there's that mind of yours. Bless God, Brother Pike's getting him now. I know someday he'd get him. I know Brother Pike was too smart for that. No, it wasn't Brother Taylor at all. It was somebody else. Could have been you. So that lets Brother Taylor out, don't it? You know what it is? You want to shoot at Brother Taylor just like you want to shoot at me. The Bible said you whet your tongue like arrows to shoot at the upright and hard. Isn't that right? You know why you felt for Brother Taylor like you did when I said that? It's because in the first place, you are not right with God, and you need to get a real, genuine, born-again experience with God. That's what you need today. A real, genuine, born-again experience with God. You love the Lord? All right. We'll say this and trying to close here. Let the simple turn in to the adulterous woman. But my sheep will continue to hear me. And they'll continue to follow me. And they'll continue to take me for an example and not somebody else. They'll make their ways in life conform to me and follow me as I follow Christ. Instead of following somebody else and taking somebody else's opinion. Somebody said, "Brother Pike, do you really believe there's anybody among you that's contrary to you?" You just can't imagine how many. Somebody said, "Well, just what do you mean by that?" Like Brother Terrell said, hundreds of thousands of people follow him. He said there wasn't but just a few of them with him, the way he expressed it. "A lot of you folks are not with me," he said. Demon thousands followed Jesus, but they wasn't with him. They wasn't with him. When the sons of God came to present themselves, the sons of Satan came also. Now, the sons of God, somebody said, "But Brother Pike, when I get there, I feel real good." Sure, the rain on the brine, the wheat. You get thirsty, you like a drink of water. It don't make no difference what you are. But you say, but Brother Pike, let me tell you something, folks. It's when you get out yonder, that's what determines what you are. When you get out yonder, not while you under the control of God in here, or the reign of God in here, or the atmosphere of the saints in here. It's when you get out yonder. Old Esau, he cried. He bawled. He looked for repentance. He'd done like the others. Balaam prophesied. Saul prophesied, but they just couldn't quit fighting God. That's the spirit of the devil right there. Saul prophesied, and quick as he got him under the anointing of God, he'd go over and want to kill David. Come on, folks. Balaam, he'd get out there under the presence of God, he just felt real good about it. about Israel. But he got out there away from the presence of God, and what he wanted to do? He wanted to speak against Israel. Is that right? That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to speak against the people of God. Is that right? You understand what I'm saying? How do you understand what I'm saying? I've got people here that I can tell is supposed to be working with me. I can tell them to do something, and they'll go somewhere else, and they'll say, somebody say, well, Brother Pike said, well, I don't care what Brother Pike said. Oh, now, somebody said, nobody wouldn't do that, but they have done it. They have done it. And Brother Pike's just got you brainwashed. Just say, well, hallelujah, I'm clean at last. Say, why don't you just come over and let him brainwash you, and then you'll be clean too.
Amen.
Jesus said, if I wash you, you ever be whole. If I don't wash you, you're not clean. Is that right? By the washing of the water of the Word. I'll tell you something, folks. If we don't stop sowing discord, there's going to be a reaping. And that reaping says the calamity that shall come suddenly. There is a calamity that will come suddenly. There is a calamity that will come suddenly. For you ladies that keep gossiping, there is a calamity that's going to take you by surprise. Because the Bible said God is taking the hypocrite by surprise. And there is a calamity that all of a sudden is going to hit you. And you're not going to be aware when it comes. He's taken the hypocrite by surprise. You know why? Because the hypocrite feels like everything's going to be all right, and God's for him, and God understands, and God's been with him all these years, and God's not going to do anything to him, but it's going to catch him by surprise. Now watch and see if that's right. I want you to stand with me. God hateth him that soweth discord among the brethren, but the harlot will stay at the window and say, come in, come in. The husband's gone on a long journey. And he that's void of understanding, he'll go in. You want prayer, sister? All right. He that is void of understanding, he will go in. I ask you today, for the sake of your soul, for the sake of the church, for the sake of the kingdom of God, don't become God's enemy. Don't become God's enemy. Be anybody's enemy but God's. But don't be God's enemy. God loves you. God's for you. God knows your life. God knows your life. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're doing. He knows why you're doing it. And I say this reverently. It doesn't make any difference what you're doing, whether it's fasting, praying, or whatever it is. If you're not doing it for the right motive, and that motive is for the building up of the kingdom of God, then, brothers and sisters, you're wasting your time and God's time too. It's no good. It's no good. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. The sister here wants to be prayed for. And while we're singing, I want you to search your heart this morning. God gave me this. He said, come out from among them and be a separate people, and I'll receive you, said the Lord, if you don't touch the unclean things. Is that right? I want you to listen to me. Come out of her, my people, for her sins have reached up to heaven. That's the carnal mind and the flesh. Come out of your own reasoning and lean not to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't go the way of the foolish. If you will confess your sins, I want you to hear this. Not just confess them. The Catholics do that. Everybody does that. Everybody everywhere at one time or another confesses, because the Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. At one time or another, everybody does that. But it said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins. When you make your confession, don't be like a Catholic. Go and confess and then go right back to it. And when I say that, I know there's people in the Catholic Church that are good people. I'm not just saying Catholic, but denominational powers. Don't just confess it, but confess it and then forsake it. Leave it alone. Swear to your own hurt today. Don't change tomorrow. Them that are given to change, the Bible said, don't mess with them. If a man's over here one day and over here the next day, leave that man alone. He'll get you in trouble. He's double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. He just gets under conviction over one thing and he'll make a start that way, and he gets under conviction about another thing, he'll make a start that way. That man will cause you trouble. Leave him alone. If you perceive there's no understanding a man, go from him. I made the statement earlier and I make it again. I believe in organization. We're organized here. I believe in organization. I believe in following the pastor. If you're of the opinion that Brother Pike don't believe in organization, you'll need to change churches, because I do believe in organization. I believe it's the greatest thing that ever happened to mankind. I do not believe in denominationalism. And I brought it out here, how that the denominator concerning figures is used, because everything that happened depends on that number. And that goes to the number of the beast. And I don't believe in denomination. I don't believe in that. I don't believe that David did right when he numbered the strength of Israel, because God took him out as one individual when all of the armies of Israel could not prevail against the alien powers. Took him as one individual and conquered the entire army. And then for David to turn and lean on his strength, even Joab knew he'd done wrong and wouldn't even number all of them, cutting across the king's command that God might spare Israel. God preparing Joab's heart to do it. And Brother Branham wasn't against organization, or he wouldn't have been organized. He had workers. He had helpers. He traveled. People came to his meetings. He used the term organization. It was his countrified way of tearing down denominationalism. It was his expression. But anybody knowing the spirit of William Branham and knowing the spirit of God would have enough understanding to know that he believed in organized strength in God. Anybody that's got the understanding of Christ knows that when you speak of Nicolaitanism, being to conquer the laity, that is meant toward denominational powers that make their own overseers, that put in on their own overseers, that elect their overseers. It's an ecclesiastical control that is not controlled by the mind of God. But to bring people under the constraint of the Word, now listen, to bring them under the constraint of the Word is not Nicolaitan. The person that says that is foolish and don't know what they're talking about. The Bible said for you to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Casting down imagination, never high things that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Is that right? The Bible said until we all come into the unity of the faith. Is that right? He said until we all speak the same thing. Is that right? And we all see eye to eye. Is that right? Is that what you call organization? Somebody said, well, I got another name for it. Well, that's good. You got another name? That's fine. The only name I know for it is organization. It's people that are organized in God. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. That means every one of you is supposed to have the same mind. I wonder what my left arm would do or my right arm would do if it didn't have some connection with my body. If somebody disorganized me and took my members all apart and laid one out yonder and one over here, I wonder what I could do. The only way that I can function is for my arms and my head and my leg and all my body to be in one part and be under the control and supervision of one strength and one mind. The body of Christ is not divided. Members in particular, that's what you are, Paul said. You're organized in God. As many as have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. You're God's great organized move in the earth, God's army, God's building that's bonded together with the mortar of charity. Under the leadership of a great and wise master builder called Paul the Apostle. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. We all head up into him in that that cornerstone is a capstone. You love the Lord? A lot of things that Brother Branham said, that to the listening ear the trumpet gave an uncertain sound. Like the brother said the other night, I don't believe in putting the gifts off in the back room. I don't agree with that. I know it's in the book of church order. That wasn't what Brother Branham intended. The devil was cunning, and when Brother Branham done something for the tabernacle to keep people from interfering with the anointing, knowing that people prophesy and do these things when they're not even right with God, and to get them away from the anointing, to keep them from interfering so he wouldn't pull up some tires and get some wheat, he put them off in the back room. That's what he did. God's never had a church order like that. There ain't never been no such church order. Like the brother said the other night, signs is for an unbeliever. And if you put tongues in the back room, how's the unbeliever going to know anything about it? Tongues, interpretation, discernment, all those things was meant to function in the church, in the house of God. It doesn't matter who writes the church order on it. That doesn't have anything to do with it. If an angel came from heaven and said anything outside of the word, the Bible said, let him be accursed. I believe in the word, don't you?
Amen.
I believe in the word.
Hallelujah.
We're going to sing a little chorus, and then we're going to pray for the sister. I want you to think on what I said this morning. Some of you brothers and sisters have been sowing discord. And I mean you've sown discord in a big way. I know when I talk with you, say, well, Brother Pike, I've not sown discord. But you lie. You have. Just because you come to Brother Pike and say, well, I have it because I don't feel like I have, that don't have anything to do with it. It don't matter whether you feel like it or not. If you've done it, you've done it. And some of you have done it. Now, what you need to do is quit doing it. Stop sowing discord. You say, how can I sow discord? By telling people what you believe, what you think, and how you feel. That's the greatest way in the world, I know. By having an old, resentful, contentious spirit, rebellious, as idolatry and as witchcraft, stubborn, the Bible said, just won't go along with what the preacher said. Got to hold some little ace in the hole, somebody said. You're sowing discord. You say, well, if I can't tell them what I believe, what should I tell them? The word of God and what God believes about it. Tell them what the Lord believes about it. What you believe about it got nothing to do with it. Tell them what Jesus believes about it. Tell them what the word of God says. If somebody says, well, Brother Pike, what do you think about this? Say, well, I don't know. I suppose that's no good. Just say, the only thing I know to do is to tell you what the word says about it, brother. And if you don't know what the word says about it, just say, well, I'll speak to you as a man. I'll just tell you the best that I know. But don't put no stock in it because I don't know whether that's God or not. I'm just telling you as a man. That way you don't disillusion. That way you don't play the hypocrite. But don't go there and not know the word of God and then start trying to tell somebody what the word of God says and what you think about it. Because that's no good. That sows discord. Isn't that going to be wonderful when everybody quits leaning to their own understanding and don't try to discuss things with people according to their own understanding and just do what the Word of God says? Won't that be a wonderful day? You go to talk to your wife and you say, wife, don't do this. Or, wife, I'm not pleased with that. But God sees. God knows. God understands. He loves me just like He loves you. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Your God sees. He sees you're wrong right then and there. He sees what you're doing. He sees your contrariness. He sees your halt. You being lifted up, haughty. What He wants you to do is to be the Word. Live the Word. manifest the Word. Be the Word manifested in the flesh. All right, let's sing this together. We sang the chorus, Jesus, use me. Let's sing that together, can we? I think every member of the body of Christ should have a desire to be used by the Spirit, the eternal Spirit. One Spirit, many operations. Your operation, my operation, their operation. Operation of preaching, operation of exhorting. Operation of the gifts. Many operations, one Spirit. Same Spirit bringing a great organization in the earth. That organization is called the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me another key, sister. Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. Sing it with me. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross is great, I'll work for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? Oh, Lord, please don't refuse me. For surely there's the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Sing it like this. You're the lily of my valley. You're the bright and morning star. You're the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You're my Holy Ghost baptizer. You have everything to me. For you have washed and you have made me whole. Sing it again. Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. You know what, folks? Don't ever get on the outer circle. God's got a little circle. That's the covering of His glory. You can be on the inside and the minister will love you and cherish you and help you. And God will woo you. But if you ever get on the outside of that, everything He says will cut you to pieces. It'll make you feel like God's against you. The pastor's against you. And everything will look contrary once you get on the outside of there. But stay on the inside where it's sweet, refreshing, like a springtime morning. Such a wonderful place to be. It's God's little Garden of Eden. You can be on the inside. You won't feel dirty. You won't feel naked. You won't feel wretched. You won't feel forsaken. You won't feel cast down. You'll feel fully clothed in the garments of Christ. As many as been baptized into Him, they put on Christ. We're complete in Him. While I pray for this sister, if you'll just come right on over here, sister. While I pray for this sister this morning, I want you to believe with me. I want God to do something for her. When I pray for somebody, I don't just come up here and lay hands and pray for them. You know, just lay hands on them. I don't do that. But sometimes through the night, I've already been praying, asking God to bless the service, asking God to help the service, asking God to minister to the people, asking God to create the right atmosphere. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm sure that many of you do the same thing. If you don't, you should. I want to pray for, and I want you to pray with me. Let's ask God to touch you this morning and ask God to do something for. The sister really wants to be used of God. She's got a hunger in her heart, in her life, to be used of God. And Satan has greatly misused her. But she wants to be used of God. And she wants to find the perfect place in God. And even though I don't know her, except she's been down here a time or two, but God knows a person's heart. And even this morning in the service, right here, she's had a terrific battle with Satan this morning. And he tried his best to keep her from stepping out and doing what she'd done. He tried hard, but she wrestled until she was able to do it. You know why? Something the deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of God. And no matter what you feel in resistance, men that have that press their way into the kingdom of God, they break through that barrage of Satan. They break through those shackles of iron, those bars of iron, which is the old carnal resistance that Satan uses. As the songwriter said, bars of iron that house my soul. I'm going to pray and ask God to give us strength. She's wanting strength to be able to continue on. And I'm going to pray that God will give it to her. Pray that God will work out his will in her life and in the husband's life, the little son's life, that they can find the desires of their heart. I want you to pray with me. Listen, folks, I love you this morning. I wouldn't tell you to leave a place where you're at for nothing in the world. I wouldn't do it unless God definitely spoke to me about it. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter what you have to give up financially. It doesn't matter what you have to give up in the way of prestige or whatever. Give it up for God. As the song said, I got the best. I got the best of the trade. You'll get the best of the trade if you do that. My brother Junior, I like what he said yesterday. He spoke about his daughter, Lori. And she's with the bank, gaining a lot of prestige, being in the meetings and so forth. And he said he told her, said, Lori, said, Daddy loves you. Said, and prestige is a wonderful thing if it's used the right way. But said, I want to tell you something. Said, it'll damn your soul and send you to hell. And it will, folks. It will. It will. Don't ever let any individual get enough hold on your life to cause you to go contrary to the ways of God. Don't you ever do it.
Oh, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, please cause my will to crumble.
Praise God. Let's pray
the cross
and ask God to do something for the sisters.
I'll work for you.
I believe God's going to work it out for her, don't you? I really do. Just lift your hands up, sister. Let's everybody just stand together that will, and let's lift our hands up. Folks,
oh, surely
I need your prayers. You you need my prayers, and we need each other's prayers. The day is getting darker and more darker and more darker and more darker, and they all was asleep at the midnight cry. But have you noticed as of late, though they all went to sleep and everything religiously seemed to go out like a light, and the night came along when no man could work, yet have you noticed about this midnight cry when the deadline is falling? Brother Branham, speaking of the end in 77, have you noticed all of a sudden there is a cry in the land? Behold, the bridegroom's here. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Get up. Go ye out to meet him. There's a difference in the ministry. There's a difference in the preaching. There's a difference in the message, the way it's been coming. Everybody begins to say, this is Jesus coming. This is Jesus. Used to it was just a preacher coming to town. If somebody was preaching. But when all of them went to sleep and got into ritualistic and denominationalism, all of a sudden they sprang forth something and people are beginning to say, this is Jesus coming. This is Jesus coming. What is it? It's the midnight cry. Behold, the Lamb of God cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Rise up and trim your lamps, folks. It's lamp trimming time. Used to have a little song called Lamp Lighting Time in the Van. It's lamp lighting time. It's time to rise up. Trim your wicks. Light your little lamps. Because when you go out into the dark to meet him, you need a little lamp. You need a little lamp. I remember what Brother Branham said to the man when he had the lantern in his hand. He was walking along through the woods. He was trying to get something over to the man. The man had come out to the meeting. He couldn't get nothing over to him. And finally, he saw the man with the lantern. The man wanted to know, how do you know the right way to go? How do you know the way to get there? You don't know the way. He looked at him and the man had the lantern and he said, sir, he said, you've got that lantern by your side. He said, yes, sir. He said, you're going through this wood, this wilderness. Yes, sir. He said, I live back over the hill across the mountain. He said, sir, you don't know the way. You can't see it. He said, it's dark. He said, how are you going to do it? He said, well, he said, I keep my lantern with me. He said, as I walk, wherever the lantern shines, that's where I put my foot. And said, by and by, I'm home. Brother Branham said, that's the way it is. David said, it's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. All the paths of God are peace. We should walk therein. Just keep the word of God with you. Light your little lamp. The bridegroom's coming. Trim your wick. Go right out to meet him. And everywhere you go, there'll be a light in this dark world. And you'll be able to see and know exactly the way to go. Let's pray. Father of heaven, I feel the sister's faith right now. I feel you conquering the disorder of this body right now. In the name of Jesus, through Calvary, through the blood of the Spirit, in Jesus' name, heal this body, Jesus. Make it well now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Meet the needs, dear God. I felt that faith, Lord. I believe you've done it, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I really felt God did. I really felt her faith go out to God. I felt a positive thing happen. Can you imagine what God has done for you? Become the perpetuation of our mistakes, wrongs, and sins, having given him own self in a body at Calvary, that moving out of the way the enmity between you and God, so that there wouldn't be a shadow of the point of a pen between you and Christ that was unlike him. And then after he did it and cleared the way, he came and presented to you the gift of the name of his beloved son Jesus, saying, take this name wherever you go. At any time that you're in need, just call me and mention this name. Said, in whatever it is, I'll take care of it. Isn't that wonderful? You have the name of Jesus to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to restore that which the lame leaps. You have the power and the authority from God. Everything's clear between you and heaven and between you and God. Not a shadow of a pin between you. And he's given you the name and said, now do whatever you want to. Just do it in my name. Call on the name Jesus and it'll be done. Makes no difference what it is. Said, just keep the name with you. We sang the song, Precious Name, oh how sweet. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Some more say no.
You love the Lord?
Can't bear.
Let's sing that little chorus, can't we?
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take that then wherever you go.
Son, not just come down here, because he come down here a while ago, but discernment showed this time as he come down here when he got right there, his spirit broke, and he yielded his spirit to God. Discernment shows that, and it broke me up on the inside, when the virtue of God went out to the little woman. She felt in her body she was healed. And when my son came up, he contacted the virtue of God. And the virtue of God went out to him. And Jesus greeted him with a holy kiss. And he greeted the Lord with a holy kiss. When your spirit goes out to your fellow man in sweet, clean, pure humility in the kiss of charity to love one another. Can we sing that again? Can you raise it a little, sister? Let's sing that again, can we? Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Can you sing it? Oh, precious name, oh, how sweet, oh, Father, thank joy of heaven, oh, precious name, oh, how sweet, oh, Father, thank joy. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that a wonderful thought? I want to pray for these. Let's sing this chorus. While we sing this chorus, I'm going to pray for them. Just another touch, Lord, from you. Give me another key, sister. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you to help me with the trials I go through. Sing it with me. Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light. When I feel another touch, Lord, from you. he touch me, sing it. Oh, he touch me. And oh,
that joy that floods my soul. Floods my soul, for something happened, and now I know that he touched me, and he made me whole. Oh yes, he touched me. Floods my soul, for something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Oh yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Joy that floods my soul, for something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Hallelujah, Brother Ron. You love the Lord. My Savior, touch me.
God is trying to help us.
And now
he wants to lead us,
no
guide us, be a friend to us. We sang the song, I'll be a friend to Jesus.
Yes,
I'll be a friend to Jesus.
Oh, he touched me.
God's good, isn't he? Kept waiting because Satan kept trying to get my son to leave. And I kept waiting because I felt like God wanted to do something for him this morning. The angel said, where is the stone of thy birth? Where is the stone of thy birth? I ask you that question this morning. That's what he asked me when he came to me, Bill. He said, where is the stone of thy birth? You know, we feel like we'll say, well, Lord, you don't have to worry about me. But when I got in the presence of him, and folks, let me tell you, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've about broke myself down trying to do something for God. I've been traveling. I was weary. My wife was weary. I was trying to live perfect, and she was trying to live perfect, and my little family. But when you get in the presence of him, you feel all undone. You feel all undone. That's right. The prophet said, I'm undone. And he came to me. I didn't tell him a lot of things. He said, where is the stone of thy birth? I just said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That's all I could do for the bill.
I just want to relate a vision I had about 3 days ago, early in the morning. And I had no idea that anybody was planning to make Brother George another belt or that any stones had been brought to him or anything. But I had a vision that he had a new belt. And in the buckle, it was made of silver, and it had the 12 stones in it like the Urim Thummim. And in the vision, I asked the Lord what it meant, and he said it had to do with having your loins girded with the truth. And it flashed, and it was more than just a reflection. It was real bright. I just thought it was real strange that Brother George mentioned that this morning, right along with that vision that I had. It was about a new belt, and I had, you know, a vision about that you had a new belt, and that there were 12 stones in the belt, in the buckle, and the buckle's made of silver, and it flashed, and I didn't know what it was, and the Lord said something, you know, it had to do with having your loins girded about with the truth, and I had no idea that, you know, you were going to have another belt made or anything. I just thought it was kind of strange that you brought that out this morning.
Somebody girded about with the truth. Who? What was it about girded about? Oh, having your loins girded about with the truth. That really fits what we said this morning, doesn't it, when we spoke about it? You know, it's really strange because little David came out to me. You know, it was the stone that got the giant. How many know that? But he came out to me and he brought a little, what do you call it? You know, like you put something in a ring, a bracelet, or what? What do you call it? Yeah, box, okay. A jewelry box. As a matter of fact, it said jewelry box on it. And he brought it out, and on it, it said the gift of love. And as a matter of fact, I believe he said it was the one that he gave Becky her bracelet in. And he brought it out there to me and wanted to show it to me. Because he had some stones, and these stones had got scattered. He had gotten them somewhere through Brother Joseph Sears. And they had got scattered, and I had went out and picked them up. The children had scattered them everywhere. And I went out in the yard. It was hard to find them, but I kept on until I found all the stones and picked them up and put them back together. And I'd left them in David's drawer. And David brought them out there, and when he brought them out there, I knew that there was 12 stones in there. I just knew that there was. And I said, how many stones is in there? And I counted them. And Brother Bill, he brought them up there for the purpose of wanting to put a stone on the bell. And I counted them, and it was 12 stones. So that vision had to be from God. And then in the middle of it, the buckle was silver. Just like Bill said, it's gold around it and silver in the middle. It's got a silver frame on it. And it got the stone of my birth. The amethyst. And I say this again, it was strange that Brother Campy would come up the other night to bring that thing around when right at this time the message was supposed to go forth with the building going up here and these different things that was taking place. The door to the Gentiles closing, all this, and going back to the... I mean, it's really something. It's really unbelievable the way the thing is happening. So unbelievable. But Bill having the vision that he had, folks, I tell you, that is something. Because, see, that belt being girded about with the truth indicates the girdle of the church. How do you know that? Loins girded about with the truth. And they head up in the 12 apostles, which was that Urim Thummim of the Old Testament. That's what the Urim Thummim was, the 12 foundations of the city. That everything was founded upon the city. The 12 stones that was put when he crossed over Jordan as a memorial has to do with the well Mizpah here. These 12 trailers down here. And it is a reality that everything heads up, all truth heads up in that foundation. And other foundations can no man lay but them 12 stones. And the chief cornerstone is that stone in the middle. Right there. The chief cornerstone is that stone in the middle, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not Brother Pike, not Brother Frank, not Brother Gary, not Brother Branham, but Jesus Christ himself, who is the revelation. He is the revelation. For the Bible said that God gave to his servant to show unto John the angel. Yeshua to John, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that right? All right. There never has been but one message, and that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. All the others have been part, heading up to this, the chief cornerstone. That's why I said that the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Brothers and sisters, if you don't meet him in this, now you might not have met the man that come under a big tent. You might not have met the man across the way. You might not have met the man that was on the radio or the man that was in the church. But if you don't meet this and don't surrender to this, you've missed it all this time. Sister Sally and him sings, if I miss heaven, I've missed it all. If you miss this, there won't be any more. Brother J.T. Parnell's vision was a new thing to be revealed. Said the water would come through the valley one more time. Said the one that missed it then, that would be the end of it. All right, the girdle about the paps is not here. The terms is used, and this is very sacred. The terms is used, blessed is the womb that hath bore thee and the paps that have given thee suck. That's the terms that's used, Jesus himself. And the paps is here. He's girded about with a golden girdle. And it has to do with that. In other words, the terms are used, the breast of El Shaddai. He's called the breasted one. The breast of El Shaddai. I know that when we say that, somebody's mind goes to the gutter. But if you like the breast of a chicken, we'll bring it down to erase, to give you some brainwashing to get the dirt out. How do you like the breast of a chicken? Okay, see, it's not bad terms at all. It's just the way you look at it. Nothing unclean except that be, you know, unclean to you. You esteem it unclean, it'd be unclean to you. So then, in other words, he was girded about with the golden girl. He also had on his head he was white as wool. Whereas the old judges, when they went to the judgment seat, they had the wig on, which meant judgment. And he had it as white as wool, which meant the judgment. When you see a person begin to get silver in their hair, you know they're getting near the judgment. That indicates judgment. That means they're fixing to start. They are already entering into the reaping of what they've done. Remember thy creed in the days of thy youth, before the judgment days come, the evil days, the reaping days draw nigh. When you turn and look at your youth and say, I have no pleasure in it. Whereas if you'd sowed righteous seeds, when the reaping come, you turn and say, boy, I love the days of my youth. I did something for God, now I'm reaping a great benefit. How many understand what I'm saying? All right, the golden girl. There's a lot that we could go into on that about the revelation of it, but this is a reference to it. All right, can we sing a little chorus together before we dismiss now?